हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, so now we're on Tattva Sutras, Chapter 1, Tattva Prakarana, the Truth. Sutra 1. The Supreme is one. He has no rival. Footnote 4. In relation to the Sutra, Śrīla Jīva Gosvāmī cites the following in Anucheda 1 of Bhagavat Sandarbha. The word Bhagavan is explained in Vishnu Purana. This Akshara, the Lord, is invisible, without old age, inconceivable, without birth, without decay, indefinable, without material form, and without hands or feet. He is powerful, all-pervasive, eternal, the cause of all beings, without cause, pervading everything but not pervaded, from which everything arises. The wise know this Lord, the supreme abode. Know this Lord. The supreme abode is Brahman. It is the object of meditation for persons desiring liberation. What is described in the scriptures is this most suitable supreme abode of Vishnu. The very Sarupa Brahman is called Bhagavan, the form of the Supreme. The word Bhagavan denotes the first imperishable being. Vishnu Purana 6.5.66-69. Commentary by Śrīla Bhaktivinoda Thakura. The Śruti Śāstra declares, there is one supreme God. He has no rival. There are not many gods. Here someone may protest. If it were so that there is only one supreme God and no other gods, then that one God would have to perform by himself all the many duties involved in creating, maintaining, and destroying the universes. He would have to perform them all without any help from anyone else. To refute this protest, the author of the sutra speaks the next sutra. Was it there in the thing, the author of the sutra speaks the next sutra?
Yes, at least. That's how
the translation.
Yeah.
I would say you could just say the author speaks the next sutra.
Okay.
Because why would we be quoting, you know, someone else, you know? To refute this protest, then J.R.R. Tolkien then speaks in the next sutra, right? No, I don't think so. Sutra 2. Because he is limitless, he has all powers. Even though he remains beyond the touch of the modes of material nature. Footnote 5. In the Anucheda 2 of Bhagavat Sandarbha, Srila Jiva Goswami gives the following explanation in connection to this sutra. One should know Narayana, who is the cause of creation, maintenance, and destruction of the universe, and who also does not act as the cause, who remains present during the conditions of dream, waking, and deep sleep, and beyond those states as well, and who makes the body, senses, life, airs, and mind move and come to life. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.35. This should be said. Bhagavan is called not being the cause, Ahetu, because he remains indifferent to the creation by the actions of his Sarupa Shakti. He is the cause of creation, maintenance, and destruction through his form as Paramatma, who stimulates Prakriti and Jiva into different conditions. Know that form of Bhagavan. He is established as Bhagavan by full manifestation of his Shaktis. Commentary by Bhaktivinoda Thakura.
So Maharaj, So actually here it is said that the Lord who is in the region of the creation is Paramatma.
No, the Lord is Krishna. He just does the action of creation, maintenance, and destruction through his form as Paramatma.
Yes.
Because, see, as Bhagavan, then you're talking about the dealings with all the devotees and that wonderful interaction. And so then all those nice, we see, you know, all those transcendental symptoms that are there, right? You know, it's a standard thing you have, you know, with all the Santri Bhavas and all these others, then you have, what is it, 49 that you're always dealing with, right? And that's because you have one, that is your rasa, your Stai Bhava. And so then all these different things are always happening and the situations are there to perfectly match all that and so. And we see is that the taste that's there in those for those devotees in those situations is unlimited. You know, I mean, if you're taking that, the happiness here is like a drop compared to the ocean of happiness of liberation. And the ocean of liberation is compared to a portion of a drop compared to the unlimited ocean. Right? Because Brahman is compared to an ocean like we have here. Very, very big and vast. You know, a drop compared to the ocean. It's a good analogy. But it's still, it's limited. You know, in the way of that, how great it is. It's great, but, you know, one drop compared to an ocean, you know, you can't compare. But then you're taking that ocean and saying that that's only a portion of a drop compared to the shoreless ocean, means unlimited ocean. Right? So this being compared here to the ocean with shores. There, bhakti is compared to the ocean without shores. It's unlimited. So that greatness, that means all the potency is going into there, because the happiness you can get in the material world itself is, if you're taking liberation, you know, the natural position, we could say, or you could just say that the neutral position of the jiva, where they're situated on that Brahman platform, where they understand the greatness of Brahman. They understand, you know, it means the taste of that, the knowledge of that, and that they're the soul. And so then the natural thing is the living entity is going to want to know, is that, okay, they are the soul, they're small, the Brahman is great, and they have knowledge of that. So then, what's their relationship with this Brahman? Right? You know, so they're trying to appreciate and understand that. And so naturally they'll move forward to pure bhakti, right? To prema. But if not, then they will just take advantage of what facilities are here. They're dropping from their platform of Brahman. Right? You know, so that's why Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur can say, you fell from Brahman. Yes. But it's not, when he's not talking about a location, he's talking about a consciousness. You know, but the funny part is because we can relate to sense gratification, liberation. If I say the soul fell from Brahman, we don't ask one more question. Because Brahman's just that. You don't say where in Brahman, you know. That, no, it's done. How you say fait accompli. It's done. And so, therefore, people stop asking about this question that's not important for them to ask. Right? And so then that aspect is there, but the point is they're situated within the spiritual platform, the spiritual realm. And naturally then there, as a person, they're going to inquire, you know, they as a person, and Brahman, so who is the supreme Brahman, like this, and they'll gravitate towards Krishna. That's the natural position. You know, just like the child, when they appear, they have a natural relationship with the parents, but they're actually in a neutral state when they're born. They don't know the parents. They don't know anything. But there's that inherent kind of understanding that there will be parents and there will be all these things. You even see in the animals. Some animals, small animals that are, you know, like let's say deer or rabbits or that. If their mother's not around, you know, when they're so small, just after being born, and there's a human around, they'll walk over to the human, because it's for them, it's just there's something bigger than them that they came from. It's just the inherent nature that the soul thinks, you know, like that. And so then, so because they don't have a specific identity so much, they learn to be a deer or a rabbit or like that. And so, yeah. So the living entity then takes on, it means, how you say, so when they only take Krishna's creation, but just in context of themselves, and not looking for that supreme. Because either they can look for the supreme within the transcendental, or they can look within, without the supreme, and just at the enjoyment that comes from it. Because they are, you know, ananda means that they're experiencing that bliss of Brahman. But the point is that that bliss is very small, we see. We're 1/10,000 of the tip of the hair, so that the amount of bliss we're getting is that one drop compared to the unlimited ocean. That's not, but it's greater than the material world. That's why people then can give up the sense gratification and go for liberation, because that happiness is greater, and it's not unnatural for them. But the point is that's why then they're in a fallen position if they come to the material world, because they've given up that platform of liberation, right? Because liberation is just a neutral state. That's why we see Lord Chaitanya wasn't impressed with the tattvabodies when they say, you know, to go back, liberate yourself from the material world, and then, you know, and then like that, then function in the spiritual world, right? Go back to Godhead, you know, and be absorbed in one of those, you know, Vaishnav liberate platforms of liberation, because liberation isn't that dynamic. Right, so therefore, what's in it for Krishna? You know, as far as a relationship goes, relationship means you're committed to that relationship. The other person then can naturally also commit. How much you are, they can reciprocate. Right, so then the difficulty will come up is that they're on that liberated platform, so they have the same form, they have the same opulence, they have that, they're on the same planet, they're an associate, but it's about being that, not being relaxed. You know, it's just like, let's say you have a celebrity and then there's a fan. They're just in ecstasy that they're there, but how do you interact with that? You know, you can smile, but you know, it's nice some attention is directed your way, but it's not about interacting in a relationship. You understand? So they're just functioning basically in that neutral position, though it has a touch of positive. But it's not actually dynamically positive. So that's why Lord Chaitanya wasn't impressed that that's their ultimate goal. You know, what about prema? Now that is a dynamic interaction, positive interaction with the Lord. Does that make sense? So then you can actually properly deal. That's something, a position you can stay at eternally. Right? Because the other one, you can't stay like, you can't be the fan forever. At some point, you know, if you, let's say you're in the same room with that person all the time, can you be a fan all the time? No, at some point you're going to relax. And then what? Then you know, who's this guy? You know, he's taking up space. He eats half the pizza. I could get the whole pizza for myself. You know, so these things, these problems come up. So that's why liberation is not, by the Vaishnavas, is not considered, it means outside of Vrindavan it's all right, because within that then they're going to serve the Lord. But the Tattvabodhis didn't mention that. But in Braj, it's not about that at all. It's purely about Krishna, about that relationship with Krishna. That's 100%. That's why it's pure unalloyed. There's nothing else mixed. Because liberation is still a mix. It's about yourself. I'm so happy being an associate. I'm so happy being on the same planet. You know, it's about my happiness rather than, you know, I'm on the same planet, so now I can serve Krishna and make him happy. Or I'm an associate, now I can serve and make him happy. Does that make sense? So that's the difficulty, is that these things aren't seen properly. They're not understood. And so then we think, oh, getting out of the material is good. No, but when we say go back to Godhead, we mean in a dynamic relationship to serve. You don't just mean you're there in the spiritual world and you're a tourist to walk around and check it out. And, oh, hey, Kate, check this out. You know, Krishna and the Cowherd Boys are doing this, you know. You know, get some photos, a few selfies, you know, like that. And no, it's different. So, therefore, then that, you can see, is that's full manifestation of the Lord. His potencies, the interactions, the ecstasies, and everything like that. So therefore, the spiritual world, that's where 100% Bhagavan is there, especially in Vrindavan. So all 64 qualities are manifest in fullness. But otherwise, in Vaikuntha, then 60% is manifest. You know? Like that. Does that make sense? Like that. And so, and then you just take a portion of that. So you have Mahanarayan, then you have the Chaturvyuha, then from Sankarsana, then you get Mahavishnu. So he's a part of a part. And so each time you have Swamsa, a part, the potency manifest is less. He has the full qualities. Vishnu has full 60 those 60 qualities. But he doesn't have to manifest very much intensity. You know? Like that. So, you know, it's like if I'm trying to light up my desk, how much intensity does the light bulb have to have? But if I'm trying to light up a stadium, it needs to have more. So in the same way, so the material world where the amount of happiness you can get, you know, is so minimal, how much potency does Krishna have to manifest? So that's why Krishna, even though it's by his desire and by his arrangement that the material nature is manifest, but he only has to take the form of Paramatma to do it. That's the whole point. You know, because it's like your dealings with Paramatma, I'm sitting here and thinking, I'm hungry. And so then that's all that, how much does Krishna's, just by his breathing, then unlimited universes are coming out. How much potency does it take to arrange breakfast? So, therefore, it's just very minimal. You know, and then we see, then in each universe, then Garbhodakshay, and then each living entity, Kirodakshay. So each time it's less and less potency is manifest. All 60 qualities are there, but you just don't have, you know, it's how much do you need to use. And so that's why then it's talking about Paramatma, but at the same time it's talking about Krishna. When it says the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he's beyond and all that. And then when he expands, he's still beyond the modes. So it's Krishna's doing it, but in this form. We have to do everything ourselves. You know, it's like you're going to do some work, you know, you may go, you know, take off your nice clothes, put on some work clothes, you know, kind of get in that mindset and all that, you know, think about how you wish you were doing the other thing. But Krishna can be still doing what he's doing and expand and take care of the work. So it's still Krishna. You know, we have to be careful not to make too much distinction. The distinction is basically in how much power is manifested of unlimited. And, you know, what are the moods and all that. But so it's originally, it's all Krishna. Krishna, that's why, just seeing all the energy, it's all Krishna, and that reminds you of Krishna. So then seeing anything in the material world, it's all Krishna's energy. From that, then you can remember Krishna. Is that, yeah. So there's no problem in this kind of appreciating that connections and everything like that. Just one has to see that it always goes back to Krishna. That's what Brahma Samhita is making. That's what you see these other points are making. And that's why sometimes, as you're pointing out, it becomes confusing because it's talking about Krishna, but it's talking about Paramatma. Yes. Because it's just talking about Krishna, you know, performing his part. His desire is as Krishna, but then it's being affected by Paramatma. Yes. Right? Just like Balaram's is in charge of the Kriya Shakti. Right? Krishna's desire is Icha Shakti. So that's why it mentions by his desire everything's created. right? Mentions the associates, the dom, everything's created because of his desire. That's the only reason it's there. Mechanically, it's being arranged by Balaram through the Kriya Shakti so that you can see it. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's just like, let's say, a person goes down to, you know, some fancy car place, right? And they want a custom-made car, right? So then they're going to ask them, you know, what colors, what this, what features, you know, all these, whatever it is. They'll sit down and go for, talk for hours about exact details of everything. Then the car company will make it. But what are they making? According to that desire of the individual. So the car is already there by the desire, not just a matter of it manifesting. Does that make sense? So here is that Krishna has a desire, it's already there. Now it's just being manifest through his expansion as Balaram. Does that make sense? Like that, that we see is there. Because, and that manifestation means, what is he thinking of? He just thinks, well, I want, you know, somebody here and somebody there and that. No. It's, I want to interact with this person and that and these situations. It's about a taste. Because of a taste, that is a particular situation. You know? Okay, just like, let's say I say, okay, we have a very nice fresh baguette, right? And we have all kinds of nice cheese and this and that and olive oil and all that. And it's prepared and the things in a, you know, there's a few of them there in a basket, like that. We have a blanket. Now, where are you going to set up? Where are you going to sit down to eat that?
The blanket.
Yeah, and where are you going to put the blanket?
On the floor.
But just in the house, or are you going to put it?
No, outside.
Yes, and where outside? On the road?
No,
it'll be a nice park. A little bit secluded, but not too secluded. You know, enough that you're out of the way, but you can kind of see everything and appreciate. You know? You understand? So there's a taste that's going to be there.
Yes.
And because of that, then are you just going to be alone, or are you going to have... But who's going to be there? You know, your boss from work, your mother-in-law, not, you know, how you say, you know, the guy from the IRA that comes knocking on your door. No, it's going to be close friends. So in other words, you want to appreciate that, you know, that having that, the taste of the picnic, so with those friends and these situations and these activities that are going to be, and what's going to be there. You're going to go there, open the Krishna bath, and then talk about how, oh yeah, I miss my mother so much, and this and that, and yeah, my mother also died, and this. That's what you're going to discuss? No, it's going to be laughing and joking and those kind of things, you know, be a little bit dramatic, you know, you can overdo things, you know, the histrionic, you know, aspect. So those are going to be there. And so that's that complete taste. So that's the Icha Shakti. Krishna desires this. Then Balaram is manifesting all these, the expanding all these. So that situation, those devotees, these activities go on, the taste that'll be there, the mechanic, because you have all these Vyabhichari Bhavas, Anubhavas, Vibhavas. That they're manifest there. That's the Kriya aspect. Right? Then it's going to be applied. So that it's there, it can be applied, that's there. But it's applying it, it's the taste. That's the Hladini. So that's why it was meant, Jiva Goswami says, Hladini is like the expansion. Like an expansion of the Samvit in this context. Because you have the situation, then it's there. But actually, it's because of that desire and taste, that's why you have Samvit. Right? And then you're going to have the individual, this one, that one, what it is that, you know, what's the, you know, there's the basket, what's in the basket, you know, then you have the sandwich, you know, that how that is, you know, there's the bottom piece of the bread on the bottom, the top. If I hand it to you upside down, it technically makes no difference for eating and that, but you don't want it upside down. You want it to be right side up, right? Because the bottom's flat, it sits nicely, the top's round, and the top sometimes is designed, and that's part of the experience. Right? So, therefore, that's where the Jnana Shakti comes in. Mm-hmm. Right? So each kriya, jnana. Jnana is the sandwich is like this, this is like that. You can put these things, it'll give this taste. It goes in this basket. What kind of basket? I have, say, I have four sandwiches, okay, and I bring a basket that's, 1.5 meters. No, you have to have one that's only, 40 centimeters or like that. You know what I'm saying? It's just, that's all the technical things on where they match. That's the sambandha jnana. So therefore, the individual is there and all these different things, that's all manifest by there. That kind of aspect. The mechanical aspect is just its existence and the knowledge how it works. Kriya will be then applying those principles with the point that it gets the pleasure of Krishna. So in other words, to please Krishna, there's certain activities. Those activities are done with certain situations and facilities. So that's why Nila is known as Leela. She sets up the situation, right? And then it's operated. And then operated, then you get the taste. Does that make sense? So when I set up, let's say, set everything up, that's the jnana. Then when it's like, okay, this one's here, there, we can, so there's, it makes it best for the interaction, that's the kriya. And then it going on, and then the laughing and eating and happiness, that's the icha.
Yes.
So that's the hladi. You understand? So that's why then the same energies come here and expand here. And you get the same thing. So from Sandini, then you get the 14 planetary systems. Right? From the Kriya, then you get all the interactions that are there in Hladini, that what little happiness you get here. Does that make sense? So it's the same aspect. It's just a matter of which you're bringing out. Does that make sense? So these are the positions, but then when you're getting the dynamic, the taste of it, the pastimes, it'll be Sandini Ledini. When you have the positions, then it'll be the Icha Kriya and Jnana. When you're talking about where it'll be applied, that'll be internal, external, or marginal. Does that make sense? So it's just like when you apply Samvit Sandini Hladini on the Jiva Tattva, then you get Hladini means Brahmananda, Samvit means the knowledge of Brahman, and Sandini means they understand I'm the soul, that I'm the soul. Does that make sense? So all of these things are all applying. So then you see is that each one, depending upon what's there, then it's being manifest and how much is being manifest. So therefore, that full manifestation you see is Radharani. When you're going to go to Dwarka, then all the gopis expand. The 16,108, they expand. They're the 16,108 queens. Right? But then you're going to have the different moods there. Right? Then from there, it'll expand into Vaikuntha, so you won't have many, so then you just have those eight main shaktis and like that, like I mentioned before. And so
it's the same person.
Same person, but just how much you have to manifest. Because before it's like, it's like, okay, Braj, it's that, then the Parakiya Rasa is there, right? So then, so many things can be on. The amount of contradictory flavors happening, can be at its fullest.
Yes.
But when you go to Dwarka, then it's husband and wife. Then it's going to be, it'll be more formalized a bit. But then when you go to, but still you have the whole range and all that, and people, it's just like when they're getting married, everyone's there, or, people come and visit, like Nard went, and, Uddhava's there, and they're all sitting around and, playing chess or, something, or he's playing with the children. So that he's interacting in these ways, then that's fine. But then when we go to Vaikuntha, Lakshmi's just sitting there, like that. She's not, it's very, 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 very minimal, very formal interactions. You don't see anything else. No one sees any other pastimes, between them. They're husband and wife, but more than that is not known. So everyone's dealing because he's God and all that. And yes, she's the consort, so she's there, and everyone's working under Lakshmi. But she's like the mother. Right? Well, in Dwarka, they're the wives of Krishna, and that you may have different relationships. You may be friends or have that junior or this or that. Does that make sense? Well, in Vaikuntha, just she's mother and everybody's working under her. It's very formal. Does that make sense? Yeah. So you're going to see is that all these things are going on, but they're just referring to as Krishna, because Krishna is the source of all this. Krishna is the reason all this is going on. Does that make sense? Yeah.
In Maharaj, if we forget that Krishna, if we forget the aspect of Bhagavan, it's impossible to understand, to explain all these.
Yes. Because if we're just trying to explain from the position he's God, then it doesn't. You can't see the difference.
Yes.
But the point is there's Bhagavan, there's God, and then there's Brahman, the all-pervading.
Yes.
Right? He is God, because all this is going on, you know. But the point is that it's different. Just like in Vrindavan, you have Balaram's there, and then he's with Krishna, and so then that's so nice. But all the focus is on Krishna. Even Balaram is focused on Krishna. But being God, he knows everything that is there to be known, except what Krishna himself is doing that he won't know about. So like when he goes in the Kaliya pastime, then everybody's lamenting because they're just focused on Krishna. And Balaram, there's a slight smile. And so one could ask, why is he smiling? Everybody else is lamenting. Because he's just so impressed how Krishna, you know, nothing will happen to him. But he's just smiling at how much the devotees love him and how the yoga maya is working, that they don't know his position. And they don't care, you know. And so then that brings, you know, a smile. Yes.
Also, Acharya has mentioned one more point that me as Sheshana, you know, he's always situated on me, but he never danced like this.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, never danced like that. He's always sitting on, but he never danced on his hands. Yeah. So that's why you can see is that it'll mention that even Lakshmi and Ananta and Shiva and Brahma have never experienced this or cannot please, because those are positions. So that position, that's not what's going to please Krishna. It's the devotion. Positions are all his potency anyway. You know? But it's the interaction. Does that make sense?
That's why it's mentioned in this sandarbha only, that the three levels of absolute truth, it's based on the qualification of worshipper. Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan.
Yes. That's very important. So, therefore, you see, most, they understand like Paramatma.
Yes.
Bhagavan, if you talk about Bhagavan, they don't have a problem.
Yes.
But you can't bring it too far forward to the front because they don't understand that. Because at that time, then they'll switch from Paramatma to Brahman.
Yes.
If you keep it very general, then they'll stay at Paramatma level. But as soon as you get specific, they switch to, no, he doesn't have a form.
Yes.
He's the Supreme Person, he's like the Father, and he takes care, and we can live with him eternally and interact with him, and loving relationships. Everybody's cool, you know, but as soon as you say he has this form, no, he has no form. Because it says from Paramatma, you either go forward to Bhagavan or go back to Brahman. So if you see people go back to Brahman, just better to keep them at Paramatma. So you speak in such a way that they will, that they'll be inspired. You know, and if you can bring them up, then you do. So yeah, it's according to the worshipper. So in the spiritual world, everybody deals with Bhagavan, not anybody else. But you will see is that within Bhagavan, then you can have also those three flavors of Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Right? So then, those in the Shantaras, that's going to be the Brahman aspect of Bhagavan. You know, how he is everything and he's the supreme. So this first point, the Supreme One, he has no rival. You can see the second one, because he's limitless, all powers, even though he remains beyond the touch of the most. Now we're talking about Paramatma. It's the third one then about Bhagavan.
I think it may come after one or two. Yeah, the next one is Bhagavan.
Yeah, then he talks a few of them about Bhagavan. Mm-hmm. So you see, is even here is that they're doing introductory verses.
Yes.
They're still talking about the overall, the same point of he's the absolute, he's the Lord of all energies, and he's the Lord of rasa as a person. So they're still talking about that aspect, these three aspects. And so then, you know, Jiva Goswami is written like that in the overall the Sandarbhas, but in the introduction he has these three, like that. Then you see is Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you know, following the footsteps, you know, of Jiva Goswami, that he's presenting in the same way. So this is the point. So you establish that he's the supreme, then he's limitless, and then, you know, he's beyond this, and then he's a person. It's a very natural way to present. Yeah? So sometimes you think, oh, how it's the technique, and this is the technique, it's already there. Like that. Was it that Pibata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam, right? So it's sort of like the mangoes, that no seed, no skin, you just have to eat. Right, you know, so but you know. We'll always, you know, so do we eat it with our fingers or with a fork or with a spoon? You know, if we're going to use a fork, do we use a regular fork or one of those fruit forks? But then the fruit forks are so small, you can never get a thing like this. Or maybe we should use chopsticks, you know, things like that. You know, and so like this. And so we speculate like that when it's already given. But as pointed out, it's by the qualification of the individual. Then if they can only see one level, they can only deal at that level. And so with time, by hearing, by, you know, chanting, by associating, then we start to see all the different features. So Krishna reveals himself. Huh? Yeah. Commentary by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. This sutra means that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is beyond the modes of nature. And he has all power. And he has all powers. This is so because he is limitless, which is to say that he cannot be measured or understood by direct perception of the material senses, or by any other material means. This is described in the following words of Svetasvatara Upanishad 3:9-19. His potencies are multifarious, and thus his deeds are automatically performed as a natural sequence. Right, he has unlimited powers. They're all his and under his control. So therefore, everything just naturally, automatically is performed as a natural sequence from the one into the next, and the next, whatever is the natural unfolding of the energies, how they work. Because ultimately, they're all coming for his pleasure. Right? You know, he has a desire, so all this is manifest. Being manifest, then it's just being engaged in his service. Like that. So it's
only pastime. Right?
It's only pastime.
There is no work.
There's no work. It's just taste.
Yes.
It has no, that's the thing, is we come here and then we think you have to work. Yes. You're like, I don't know if it's still you get that, but when devotees are first, you know, coming onto the scene and all that, many times the karmis complain, oh, well, everybody will be lazy, no one will be doing it. Now, if everyone becomes a devotee, what's going to happen to the world? You know, like that, you know, it'd be pretty nice. You know, there's always this thing, oh, they're lazy, oh, they're this, oh, they're, you know, they're peaceful and that, oh, but then, you know, how does anything get done? You know, you have to be aggressive and all that. And if you're aggressive, then, oh, why are you aggressive? You're supposed to be peaceful. And, you know, so the whole point is they just have no idea. They're threatened. Because, see, the difficulty with a religious platform, especially if it's something that's it's general for everyone to take part in, is that it threatens our platform of sense gratification. And so immediately, then, we're worried about that. You know, that we're the enjoyer. You know, or for the impersonalist, oh, that we're the controller. Because you see, generally, as the intellectuals and all that, they'll be the ones that are about impersonalism. Because they want to be the controller. Because generally, intellectuals aren't in control of anything. right? It karmis are in control, you know, of enjoying in the material energy. And so they can't. So then they, I'll be God, and that way I'll control everything. So everybody has their, you know, so one's envy, the other's attachment.
As we see that the religion, at least some religion are mentioning the importance of the name, to change the holy name.
Yes.
After some people are, can say, form, it's a different thing. But past time, there is no information.
No, no. Even qualities, they don't go very far.
Yeah.
Yeah. Form also, they don't get much into.
No.
So basically, it's name and a little bit of qualities.
Yes.
Like that. Yeah. They don't go further. What to do? Because that's all they're interested in. Because if you look at it, if they're only interested in karma, they're not interested in liberation. Like the Abrahamic religions are not interested in liberation. It's only karma. So you do good work, you'll get good results. You go to heaven. But they're not necessarily talking about going back to Godhead. They're just going to a heavenly situation. Because when they talk about going to heaven, they just talk about, you know, we'll meet our family there and this and that and our friends. And all. They never talk about God, service to God, interacting with God and all that. Even though in the beginning, you know, in the creation in the Bible, it talks about God and interacting with God. It doesn't talk about anything else. It doesn't talk they're hanging out and having a good time. It talks about they're walking with God.
Also, I see, like, even in the recent times when I was interacting with some devotees, there is this conception that advancement in devotional service means, like, how many more rounds you chant, that's it. Like,
yes.
If you have more advanced, then I sit in Vrindavan and then this,
chant,
that's the perfection.
Yeah, it's about the externals, which means the point is that you're chanting more than that, and you can do that regularly. It will be a symptom of advancement, but it's not it's because of the determination that's come from and the focus on Krishna. Therefore, there's more chanting. But it's not the mechanical chanting like that. Otherwise, I mean, you could set up your a loop on your computer and it could be chanting 24/7. I mean, so that means it's the most advanced of everybody, you know. Like that, you know. Oh yeah, I chanted, you know, 20 rounds today on my computer. My God, it did five lakhs. You know, it's like, you know, wow, you know. And then, just with time, then, you know, the computer will expand and the consciousness will go throughout the whole universe. And then you'll come in one day and the computer will be sitting there, you know, eating a sandwich and drinking your drink, you know, like that. And, you know, no, isn't that how sci-fi works?
So, in one sense, one need to understand, like, you know, and appreciate what the whole process given by our acharyas.
Yes.
Otherwise, what we think that just by chanting, one day I'll get the rag, you'll never get it because you'll never catch the mood without interacting with devotees. Without
because I think I will chant, so I'll get prema. No, it's because you want prema, you'll get prema. Because prema is hladini. Right, Samvit will have all these technical, you know, performance of these things, and Sandini will have the technical that, you know, you chant rounds, you hold your beads like this, you chant, you know, there's 108 beads, and, you know, like this, you go to one end and you go back, and, you know, the Krishna bead like that. So they're combining Samvit and Sandini, but Bhakti is Samvit and Hladini. I'm performing these activities for Krishna's pleasure. Otherwise, I'm performing these activities because I'll become advanced, or I'll become freed from the modes of nature, or all these things. So it's a matter of, it's about Krishna's pleasure. That's what makes the difference. Because all three are going to be there. Because if you have Samvit and Hladini, Sandini is there. That's why you see it. Prabhupada doesn't give so much technical detail of the mechanics of how everything works. You know, enough to understand that you can apply it, because for us it's about performing the devotional activities for Krishna's pleasure. Yeah. So how much is necessary to mechanically apply the devotional process, both from the positive and also to what to avoid in the negative? Mm-hmm. That only that much needs to be there. Yes. An over emphasis on the Sandini aspect is not important. Though we like to do that because for us it's all time and space, and so that's all going to be Sunday. But that's where time and space are, is there. They're not in Samvit and Ladi. So we tend to overemphasize that when we get more detail and technical. We go reading a Purana, give some technical and mechanical detail of the material world. We think, oh wow, this is advanced knowledge. No, it's technical knowledge, like that. But it's not actually the advanced knowledge. Advanced means seeing that connected to Krishna, because otherwise you use that not connected to Krishna, it's avidya, it'll keep you in the material world. You can see it for Krishna's pleasure, then that will take you, you'll get liberated. Right? And the intent is to please Krishna, that's bhakti, that will give you bhakti. So in other words, I have the knowledge, I don't see it in connection with the Lord, it's avidya, keep you in the material world. I see in connection to the Lord, I'll get purified. But I'm doing involved in it to please the Lord. That's what makes it bhakti. Because otherwise, you see so many times is that you're seeing these great sages and different personalities and all that, and they know about Krishna. They know his position. But we don't necessarily count them as devotees, or not necessarily as advanced devotees. Because it's not their knowledge is not about Krishna's pleasure. It's just about know God. What's this? I think it's in the Krishna book, the chapter Ill-Motivated Dhritarashtra. Very short chapter, but in there he's describing, I know he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know, I know all these different things, but I'm so attached to my son, it's, you know, I can't take advantage of it. So he's not counted as a devotee. So many of these great sages, like when you see Krishna shows up, the sages, they don't go away. They all come and offer their respects and interact and prayers, but they may or may not be specifically devotional. They're just accepting these first two positions, his position as the absolute or the Lord of all energies. They may not look at it from the Bhagavan aspect. And they're going to be purified, they're going to be liberated, they'll get all kinds of benefits. And by that association, then gradually they'll go forward to Vaikuntha. Right? So basically you can't attain Vaikuntha with only these two. You accept the person, but you don't know so much about the person, it's more about the other two. But Vrindavan means it's about the person. You're trying to please the person. So Goloka means it's about that pleasing that person. No, it's also there in Vaikuntha. You're trying to please the Lord. But it's not necessarily as emphasized. It's where the emphasis is. That the intent, that's where you see the particular position of advancement.
And it seems like that there are not so much information about the pastime of Narayana. Not so much.
Because the pastime means he sits there, everyone comes and glorifies. You know, they come in the morning, then he's taken for his bath, he moves from that asan, they take him by procession to the next room, or, you know, a room that's set up specifically for bathing. He's bathed there and all that, and all pomp and that. Then he moves to another room where he'll be dressed. Then he goes to another room where he'll eat. Then he'll come to, you know, back to the asan for being, you know, respected and all that. Then, you know, at some point he goes for some rest. And that's what they do all day. And it's not a problem because they can do that unlimitedly because Krishna is always ever fresh and it's always perfect. So their affection for him and his affection for them can go on eternally because it's just the maximum majesty. Well, you see it then in Dwarka, then you're going to have more. You know, because, you know, he'll be at home, he'll go to the office, you know, other different pastimes like that. So you see a little bit in Vaikuntha. You know, the giant Vijaya is happening there. You know, then they'll many times talk about how he's in Vaikuntha and then he hears the devotee calling for him and he goes. That's why it mentions when it was, you know, oh, you're so fortunate because, you know, you're here, you know, in Vaikuntha, you're always with the Lord. And then the devotee says, well, actually, regularly he's going out to, you know, take care of some other devotees, so they're not here with us, you know, so like that. So you do have, there is, of course, the variety in there. you know, the different festivals, the different seasons, where you go out. So if it's a cooler season, then you're going to, you know, sit in certain places, and the warmer season in other places. You know, it's just like in if it's summer season or others, then you go out into the garden in the evening. But let's say winter, you go out in the day. You don't go, you know, when the sun's out, you don't want to sit there. Or, you know, you're building fires or these, but the other, then you're using chamaras and, you know, cooling things. So you get all these different things. Same in the food. Certain foods are heating, so you eat them in the winter. Certain things are cooling, so you eat them in the summer. You know? You know, we're talking about just, you give the flavor of cool, the flavor of warm, so that these have some meaning. It doesn't mean that it's you know, extreme, right? Because there everything's perfect, so there's no extreme. So, yeah. Son? Yeah. So, we're used to, you know, looking for all these details and think that's advanced. That's why then devotees can get distracted and think that the modern academics are more advanced. All they're doing is looking at the situation of something. You know, and the mechanics, they're only dealing with the jnana, the jnana shakti. The kriya, they wouldn't have a clue. Right? They look at this and all that. They can never see how it can be utilized, this and that. They absolutely can't. Some businessman comes along, or some government official, you know, some general shows up and says, can you make one of these a little bigger? You know, and they're, okay, well, that, and like that, but that'll be very expensive, you know, like this. Oh, we'll pay for it. You just do it. And then they make this big thing that then the government uses and all that, and they got paid, you know, their salary, a little extra, something, and that's it. That's what's so unique about, what was his name, Da Vinci. He could think it up, he could do it. So he was quite unique. You know? So generally they call those people inventors. But they're actually scientists that can do something practical. So if you can be practical, you're called an inventor, and if you can't, you're called a scientist. You know? And yeah. And then you see Krishna has all of those. He enjoys, he can see, then like that, he can make it practical because he knows all these things. You know, I guess in the modern context, that's Elon Musk. He enjoys this facility, he can think it up, he can make it, he can, you know, all these things. That's what's unique about when no one else can do. He's one guy and he can oversee all that. Well, everybody else, it takes this huge crew.
He actually got a vaishya for maintaining the whole finances. And when he first started, when first the Tesla car came, then he could not maintain his finances. Then he got somebody from the Bajaj family who is actually. Then everything, his money was like directed.
Okay. So that's only when we hear about him. Only when he's filthy rich, then we hear about him, otherwise.
And then he's paid like very huge amounts because he maintains the money.
Yeah. And why is he paid? Because he's Bajaj. He knows how to get it.
And also Ambani,
yeah.
He pays one guy like some ridiculous amount. That guy who is the CEO of the Ambani group, he every day he flies from Mumbai to that Gujarat place. He has a private jet.
Right.
He's the only worker who has a private jet in India.
Right. Okay. So every day he flies up and back. So they have their own airport or something.
Yeah, that Gujarat, the place I forgot, it's like, whole thing is there, the whole city.
Oh, they made a whole city, okay. Ambani Nagar or something. Yeah, so you have these different levels. So Krishna is all that, unlimitedly. So these people, you might now and again find somebody who has a little bit of this, a little bit of that, some one of the opulences or a combination of the opulences of Krishna. And then, you know, like in history, how many are there? It's like, you have Caesar. How many people like that are there? You have Caesar, okay, we have Alexander, Napoleon. You have him like that, you know. I mean, you have Hitler, but I don't think people really want to mention him. You know? And a few people here and there. It's like a handful all over the whole planet. You know, you had that one Inca, big Inca, and the conquistadors killed him. Can't remember his name, but he was there. You know, he put together the whole empire like that. And so you have a few people like that. You know, out of, you know, billions and billions, you have a few. You know? And these, and what they have is nothing compared to the demigods. What they have is nothing compared to Brahma and Shiva. What they have is nothing compared to Vishnu. And then you see Krishna, then he's beyond all that. And that, then he's, that person has the maximum, then he's, you know, known as the son of Mother Jashoda, or Nanda, you know, the friend of the gopis, or the friend of the cowherd boys, protector of the cows. Like, so that, so it's just about rasa. So that's why then the taste of devotional service, the ecstasy is unlimited, because Krishna puts full energy there. These other places, it's, you know, a millionth, a billionth of a billionth portion. You know, it's just like it takes nothing to run the place. You know, it's just like, let's say we have this, you know, multinational billionaire, you know, who knows, but he does it all himself and everything like that. How much would he, how much effort and thought would he have to put into running a lemonade stand for his daughter out on the sidewalk? Right? You know, how much, like, okay, we'll do this, 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 finished, it's done. And this way his daughter becomes a crore puppy, selling lemonade. You know, so she starts there when she's five, and when she gets older, then they're canning it, and then you have, you know, they got that lemonade in the can or like that. It started like that. Now it's this. Then now you go for marketing all over the world. So, so that's the whole. It doesn't take anything to do. So to run this material world, you see, what's Mahavishnu doing all day as Mahavishnu? Right, as Karanodakshai Vishnu, what does he do all day? Sleep. That's it. Just breathing in and out. Then all this is happening. So what is it taking to be? You know, he's not even awake. He's just asleep. And this is all happening. You know, so like somebody says, "Oh, I could do that in my sleep." Mahavishnu literally does. You know, so. So that's it, but for the pastime, Krishna is awake. Yes?
It's mentioned in the Paramatma Sandarbhas. In the actual, the mode of goodness, passion, and ignorance according to the transcendental realm, in the mode of goodness is Krishna is now performing the pastimes. Mm-hmm. And in the mode of passion is like Krishna and his devotees taking birth. In the mode of ignorance is after performing pastimes, he's tired, so in the sense. And he's taking rest. So Mahavishnu is taking rest. Like,
yeah, yeah. Yeah, because it's in Mahatattva, so there's that aspect. Because you see there, is then that goes along with, and that's it's seemingly like the mode of ignorance, but it's not. But it's that it, because it has to come from somewhere. So it comes from these three features of Krishna. And so therefore, that's why in the glance you have that false ego. You have the false ego, you have time, you have the jivas. So then that's what controls the whole thing. And that's just a glance. You know. So he sleeps and there's a glance. That's it, it's all done. Like that. So you see is that's why it's not that the acharyas can't talk about the material creation, they can in connection with Krishna. But the point is the taste is in talking about Krishna as Bhagavan. Yes. Right? And then that feature as Bhagavan, then it's going to be the aspect of you know, his wonderful pastimes and all these things. Yes. Yes. So anything to do with the material world, then they can speak on that as long as it's in context of Krishna. But just the mechanical, the Samvit and Kriya aspects, the Samvit and Sandini aspects of the material world, they're not so much, you know, it means how it connects to Krishna, but it's about using it in Krishna's service. Like that. So they don't get too much into that. Yeah, they can, because when they do, it goes immediately over our head. If they do get technical, we can't even, it's like, where does all this fit? It's just like, we're dealing with, what is it, like I said, if we count, okay, you have the five main rasas, the seven, so that's 12, right? 12 and 33?
45.
That's 45. Okay. Then you have the Satrika Bhavas and all these different things like that. So it technically there's a certain amount, but it's so bewildering to us. But this is where they put their attention, because this is then in connection with Krishna's pleasure. The other things that he does it as just as being the supreme, these things happen. But it's not that this is what's important for them. It's only important in as much as the living entities get an opportunity to come back to him. Right? And they come back because they do all these funny things. And so he arranges all these funny things so that they understand, no, they'd rather serve Krishna. So that's why in the heart he's telling them how to do. The bird is there. The Krishna is telling him, okay, you looked under this leaf, now look under that leaf. And we think, oh, it's instinct. Paramatma is telling him what to do. But, he tells us what to do. We listen or don't listen, that's another thing. Yes?
Also, it's interesting, none of the academics go through this, the philosophy of the rasa. It's only the artists go to some extent.
Yes.
And then the whole field of psychology is still like an empty box even till today.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
for this reason, because they cannot connect to the personal aspect.
Yeah, no, that's the... Yeah, because it's always considered it's lower.
Yeah.
You have the hard sciences and the soft sciences. And of those from the hard science... I mean, you have hard and soft because there are a lot of people within the soft. Right? So therefore, just by volume and who's in charge and who pays the money and all that, then it kind of has to be acknowledged. Because otherwise, if it was up to the hard sciences, the soft science wouldn't exist at all. It just wouldn't be there. Why would we waste space and time and resources? All the money that goes into all these soft sciences, all those, if that was pumped into the hard sciences, how much more they could get done, So as far as I go, it's just a waste of time. That's why in the university, you see, the front row is these quantum physicists, nuclear physicists, like this. They're in the front. And all the guys that are PhDs in the arts, they're in the back row.
They don't even get a seat. In the middle are this biotechnology and all those guys, like, it's a science, because it accepts itself as a science. And other arts people, they don't even invite most of the time.
Yeah. So it's just, nobody cares. So that's the fun part, And then we think we're going to take over the world with an Indology degree. It's kind of like, are you kidding? Who cares? So that's the whole point, is that it's just a matter of impressing the devotees with Krishna consciousness. Now, if by having some letters after your name, they'll listen to you, that's the purpose of having those letters. But not that the knowledge you got from those letters has any value at all. It's total waste. But because people, think that if you have that, they think that this is knowledge. They think if you have so much Sandini knowledge that it's going to be great. But in actuality, it's not applied. What's the point? But they don't know about application. They don't know about the taste. Though they're always endeavoring to taste something by doing an activity. So it's so obvious, but they're not catching it. So then we can point that out. But we ourselves have to be not enamored by, because we say, oh, that's not important. Oh, so you're throwing out everything. No, you have to know what's important. You know, it'd be just like, let's say, someone has gone into the kitchen and very elaborately spent hours and hours with this, with a recipe that has like 100 different, you know, steps and all that. But afterwards, there's no taste. And so then they'll sit around, oh, did you do this? Did you, oh, yeah, I did that. Oh, that, that, that. They'll talk for hours about, you know, the technique. You know, but it, there's no taste. And we're talking about, no, there has to be taste. If you do all this and there's no taste, oh, so you're saying we should throw out all these techniques and all that? Is that what you're saying? And that, so it's just like they have no concept. Therefore, they immediately jump to this. So if someone says, if you don't engage, you know, your occupation in Krishna's service, it's a waste of time. And they say, oh, so you're saying we shouldn't do an occupation? Then you're talking about someone who hasn't realized that it's Krishna that's important, not the occupation. The occupation is only to maintain yourself so that you can engage in Krishna's service. But we'll put the emphasis on this because that's what we're used to, that's what we're conditioned to. The material nature means you're conditioned to the sat and chit aspect. And spiritual world means you're unconditioned, so the ananda aspect is the primary. So here we take it sat. Some practical people make it chit. But, you know, it doesn't actually become that. Because they can say, no, we're trying to be happy, but are you? So if you are and you're not, then isn't that foolish? It's just like, I'm trying to do this and it's not working out. Would I say it's a good endeavor? No, I would say it's a waste of time. So if everybody on the planet is trying to become happy, and they, as far as history we know, that's all they're trying to do, and no one's happy, then maybe they're using the wrong process. Maybe we should reconsider maybe how we're doing things. You know? So that's the thing, is that is by conditioning we don't know what's beyond our purview. And then if somebody mentions something that's beyond, immediately they're criticized. So that's why you see the acharyas and that. People say so many foolish things about them, you know, and see them in not good ways, or, you know, the smartas, you know, attack them. You know, like that one smarta Kali worshipper then tried to, you know, defame Srivas Thakur. Because they don't know what's beyond. And they see their position as being threatened. You know, like that. Before, everyone came to them for everything. Technical, this, that. Now they're not. They're going with all these Vaishnavas. So they're threatening their occupation. So when you say that, you're threatening my occupation, you're threatening my concept of how I, who I am, how I live my life, how I enjoy. My whole existence is being threatened by saying, unless you understand this connection to Krishna, it's a waste of time. So that means they don't understand the connection. So that's the first obvious thing. And why? Because, no, this is where I identify. But they're thinking, oh, it's two different things. It's one thing. Satchitananda is one person. It has these three features. They're accepting some aspects of it, but not the other. You know, ananda means I'll be happy. No, but ananda is Krishna's happy. You know, so I'm not going to be happy. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to put in all this work, and I'm going to be unhappy. So all these things come up, all these doubts, all these misgivings, because of envy and attachment. Right? And so then that the acharyas are showing us how to go beyond that. That's the whole point. So here we see the starting out. You have to know these three features of the Lord. Then you can understand, because everything is progressing from Krishna being Satchitananda. Everything progresses from that. Because from him come his energies. The energies, he has these three features, his energies will have. That means so then when they expand the spiritual world, it'll be based on those three features. If they expand the material world, it'll be based on these three features. We're only willing to see maximum two. And even the two, we're only seeing part of it. You know, like we were saying, the whole psychology and on all these different aspects, very little is known. Only as much as if I do this, I'll be happy. You know, if I wear Rexona, then, you know, 26 girls will follow me down the street. You know, like that. You know, or is that Axe?
Axe.
Axe, okay. I think Rexona also, I think Axe Because Axe is the Indian one. They just, I think, copied the Rexana. But whatever it is. You know, everything will be perfect because I'm wearing this deodorant. You know, and how many millions of cans of that deodorant are they selling? And so, it means, how you say, you know, so are there that many million girls walking after all these? Are there that many girls? Are there that many, you know, is this, you know. You know, and it's all those, that particular age of girls. It's not like little girls or the older girls or like that. You know, it, when the guy goes down the street, it's not like 40-year-old ladies are running after him. No, it's all the 18, 20-year-olds. You know, like that. You know, so it's like, you know, I mean, there's a limited amount. So that means, okay, so if 26 girls, you know, per, you know, individual is using, so therefore there's only this many girls in India. You know, that could do that. Therefore, that means that's X amount of cans. We can only sell this amount of cans. You know, so we can only, you know, sell, let's say, you know, I say, you know, 400,000 cans like that. It's limited to that. Then you could even have auctions. People would, you know, I mean, for 26 girls, they're going to go there and auction, you know, like that. Okay. So we start the bidding, you know, the can at, you know, whatever it sells for, you know, 1999 rupees like that, you know. So, yeah, 1999, do I hear, you know, and then it goes up until they sell, you know, 1,000 rupees a can. It would be good business, you know. So instead of selling, you know, so many millions of cans, they can just sell, you know, a few hundred thousand and get the same profit and probably even get more than people coming in from all over the world, you know. So I said, no, we don't have that one here, you know, like this. And
also, most of these deodorants are used by college students in their college because they don't take a bath. And in colleges, most of the colleges, they're very less close, so they don't get it. They're not supposed to have it.
Yeah, but they don't. Yeah. Very less girls. And you want to know why? Because they don't take a bath. That's why. You know. So you know, you're going to that university? Nah. Those guys don't take a bath. That's where girls like to go to. You know, university. There's just girls, because then they all take a bath. The real truth comes out. The untold truth comes out. And the guys are going, really? Oh, my God. So my mother was right. Okay. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.